our second master class. Nate did the last one for us, which was great. So we'll get started with this one, and we've got Vindia, if she's here, and then Edward. And you're welcome to start. You can share your screen if you've got a presentation to show. Vindia, do you have something to present?
She posted in the chat to give her a minute.
Okay, gotcha.
Hello, good evening, everyone. I'm trying to share my presentation. Let's see. Okay. I saved it on my intern folders. I think I'm not doing this sharing correctly.
Do you have the file open?
I do. I also uploaded on my intern's folder.
Well, as long as you have it open, once you go into share, you just pick the window you want to share, which is typically, if you have it open, it will be your main screen, the main window.
Okay. Okay, can you all see this? I think I shared it.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So for my topic for today is impact of technology on children's growth and development. I work with children on a daily basis because of my role as an elementary school teacher, and this topic is very important to me. It is also extremely concerning when I see that overuse of technology can have devastating effects on a child's psychological, physical, and behavioral health. And therefore, I decided to present on the impact of technology on children's growth and development. So my introduction slide, technology has become an imperative part of today's society, whether it is at home or in school. Children are using many forms of technology, such as smartphones, iPads, tablets, laptops, computers, PlayStation, Roblox, Xbox, Nintendos, and the list goes on. The usage of technology amongst children, whether they are in elementary, middle, or high school, has increased exponentially in the past few years. Innovation is speeding up and impacting children increasingly. Look into the past and the present. So about a decade ago, children used to play outside all day long, riding bikes, playing sports, and flying kites. But nowadays, children play games on their devices and stay indoors, and thus they limit themselves to creativity and imagination. There are positive impacts on technology, and so I came up with three, but there are even more positive impacts. The first one is, according to me, is research and critical thinking. The internet provides access to a great deal of information and resources, which helps children learn about various topics. The second one is language development. Children learn their language easily, especially complex vocabulary, by listening to educational videos that talk. The third one is self-confidence and self-expression. Children learn how to share their thoughts online, which is a very powerful tool to build confidence. Also, they learn how to connect with others. And now I would like to talk about the negative impacts of technology. Health problems. Increased use of technology slows down the brain. For example, children rely on devices to solve problems rather than using their own brain connections to work through a problem. Also, they don't get enough physical exercise, which causes weight gain and obesity amongst children. Besides, increased use of screen time affects with their sleep cycle. A second one that I have personally noticed, this one, is bad handwriting. Technology has ruined handwriting, especially cursive handwriting. Students in the past, they used to write handwritten papers, which is now replaced with Word documents. They get less practice writing on paper and more practice typing on docs. Third one, relationships. Children are getting used to being alone and losing the desire to engage with their parents, family, and friends. And so more negative impacts of technology are continued, and they are even more harmful. Exposure to harmful online content and sexual exploitation. Children of all ages are able to bypass the age verification systems of social media such as Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And that's how children get into direct contact with online predators. Cyberbullying, and I'm sure we all have heard about this. This includes posting or sharing negative and harmful information about someone else. Suicide amongst teenagers has also increased significantly due to cyberbullying. Low self-esteem and increased anxiety. As children spend more time on the internet, they become withdrawn from the society and culture. So, how to protect our children from negative effects of technology? I came up with these three things. The first one is increase outdoor activities and encourage sports. Second one, monitor screen time. The less time they spend on devices, the better it is. The third one is monitor their sleep cycle. Children, they need at least 10 hours of sleep per day. So countries like China are already stepping up to technology measures for children. Should we be stepping up too? China limits kids to 3 hours of online gaming per week and only on weekends. But only on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. This rule still applies during public holidays, according to the Chinese newspapers. The Chinese Communist Party in Beijing passed this law that forbids children from playing video games for more than 3 hours per week in order to put an end to what the government is calling spiritual opium. And my conclusion is that it is very important for everyone to come together as a parent, teacher, or a therapist and understand the way technology is impacting our children. Children are our future. They are the future of America. We all must act to limit their use of technology in the form of video games. On their growth and development, whereas the wrong use of technology will have a negative impact on our children. And that's all for my presentation. Thank you. And if anyone has any questions.
Wonderful. That was really great. It was a good choice.
Yeah, thank I you. Liked it. That was pretty good. I liked it a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, Edward.
Okay, that's going to be a tough act to follow. Okay. I'm going to try and share this right now. Oh, that didn't work. Let me try a different way. Okay. Give me 1 second, please. Okay, can you guys see that?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, so I am going to be doing a presentation on steganography. I will also touch a little bit on cryptography towards the end. First of all, so what is steganography? It is the practice of hiding a secret message inside of or even on top of something that is not secret. Comes from the, I believe that's Greek, steganos, which means hidden, and graph, which equals to write. Steganography equals secret writing. The earliest example, according to the Guinness Book of Records, is from Histias, who shaved a servant's head before tattooing a warning of impending attack from the Persian army. Once the servant's hair grew back, he was sent to deliver the message, which was revealed when his head was shaved again. As you can tell, the war was not impending anytime soon, as his hair was able to grow back in time. So how is it used today? Steganography is used by hackers, IT professionals to hide messages within an image. It is also used to deliver attacks using PowerShell and Bash scripts to automate attacks. So the attackers embed scripts within macro-enabled Excel sheets and Word documents, trying to kind of bypass the firewall mechanisms. How an attack may occur. So a victim may click on an Excel document, which has been modified using steganography. Launching the document activates the PowerShell script. Following this, the script installs an installer app onto the device, which is done in almost milliseconds, and then the installer is so subtle it avoids detection from the user. So if the protections in place don't already have the signatures, if it's a if it's a 0-day attack, then it's probably going to be able to bypass. The downloader connects to the internet and retrieves updated versions of malware, which then compromise the victim's device. This is a procedure that has been used for ransomware such as Snatch, or Trojans such as Rovnix and Pillowmint. So how to detect steganography? Security analysts and threat hunters work to identify the tactics, techniques, and procedures of attackers and pen testers, using tools such as MITRE. And they identify the typical signatures of the steganographic applications. Sorry, it's a tricky word. Antivirus applications can identify moves made by steganographic applications, and the signatures will be continuously adapted to thwart detection. So a tool that is used quite commonly in steganography is Digital Invisible Ink Toolkit. And it can be used to hide any sort of file inside a digital image. The link is from SourceForge. As you can see, I'm going to use a laser point. So there's a few different tools available. So you can encode the image using, you can input your image here. It can be in any type of file format. I've created an example later where it's a .txt file. So you can then also use a cover image, and then also protect it using a password. Down here, there are different algorithms with different kind of strengths. And then also down here, with the stego image, I believe you can also write using one image and then display a different image. We can also decode once we've encoded, simulate and analysis, which I will cover in the next couple of slides. So here is an example of steganography. This here is the original untouched cove image. And then over the next four images are the various algorithms that are used to change the image. And although all four or all five look identical, there are slight differences, which allows the input of data, which can be decrypted to read the message. As you can see, a message is inserted by changing the colors of the pixels slightly. And the changes are so small, the human eye struggles to differentiate. And each image uses the encode function. So here is a simulation of the image. The output picture is a black image covered with gray to white dots. The white dots represent where the file is hidden, and the wider the dots, the more information inside that pixel. So this kind of demonstrates how much data is hidden. And if you were to look at the original, there's they've kind of, it's like putting a filter on onto the image. Okay. Steg analysis. So once the image has been encrypted, there's a couple of methods that can be used to see how effective the encryption is. So the lower the number, the more effective the message is hidden. On a benchmark, the results would be 0, there is no difference, and 1 would be a complete opposite of the image. It was interesting to note that steganography is just an invisible watermark, and so it's just something that cannot be altered. So here I've put together a little demonstration of how we can encode a picture with a text file. So here I've taken the Purdue Global logo, and I've created a Hello World text over here. I've used the Purdue Global as a cover image, and I used just the basic battle steg algorithm, and I again just used the Purdue Global image. I believe you could have used a different image. So here is the Hello World, and you'll, if you know, here is the title is Hello. On the next slide, I've shown the reverse process of decoding the image to a text file to receive the hidden image. So I've taken the Purdue Global, which was encrypted with the image, and I've picked a message file to write to. So I've had to create a blank blank text file. So I created just a message file, and then decrypted, retrieved the message, and received the Hello World message back. As you can see, the Purdue Global University logo is pretty much unaltered and unchanged. Looks identical. So that was that on steganography. I wanted to touch on a little bit of cryptography and a website that I've thoroughly enjoyed using when trying to identify ciphers, particularly in the treasure hunts and some of those identifiers. So here I've taken a encrypted text and placed it into the cipher identifier and analyzed, and it's given me a couple of different recommendations of what the cipher might be. As the Caesar and ROT cipher are pretty similar, it's given me those two as recommendations. So as you can see, I've decrypted the text using the recommended ROT cipher and been given the answer Purdue Global. And it's just A to Z, adding 13 onto the letter as a rotation. I also did a rail fence example where I encrypted the phrase here and then placed it into a rail fence. And so the rail fence is demonstrated here, and it gave me the answer below as Purdue Global again, with three lines and then diagonal downwards, upwards, downwards. So what I wanted to touch on was the National Cyber League as kind of a reasoning really as to why I've like kind of gained an interest in steganography and cryptography. They have multiple topics that are over here. Open source intelligence, cryptography, password cracking, log analysis, network traffic analysis, wireless access exploitation, forensics, scanning, web application exploitation, and enumeration and exploitation. And for anyone that hasn't competed in the National Cyber League, I would highly recommend it. It provides great practical skills, and kind of it talks you through certain kind of tasks. Most recently, I've just been doing the password cracking and using Hashcap, and it kind of provides you with some tutorials as well. And it's a great tool for learning further skills. And that is it from me. Not sure how long that was in terms of 15 minutes, but if there are any questions.
That was great. That was really something to think about. I don't know how I would ever find it in anything that I've received, but that's awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I wouldn't even really know much about this unless you did that. That was a really good presentation. Thanks for that.
Yeah, that was great. Does anyone, you're right on time. It's 8:30, so you're right on time. Anybody have any questions for Vindeya or Edward? Well, I have to say you guys did a great job in your masterclass. Exactly what I was thinking. I think it's wonderful to hear what you guys are interested in and what you've become master in, right? As you're learning, we're learning. So thank you very much for the information that you've provided. And if there's nothing else, I think that's it for tonight. We can go ahead and leave early, but sounds good. Everybody have a wonderful Labor Day weekend, which really starts tomorrow for a lot of people, but you know, you're probably still working. But the school itself, PG, with its calendar, considers Saturday and Sunday and Monday closed for the school. In other words, they are out, but that does not mean that the internship stops. You can still build hours if you want to. If you're behind, you can still do some work if you want to. The system does not shut down. So you can still collect hours if you want to. Go ahead, Carrie.
We're still having our meetings on Monday, right?
This Monday we are not. So meetings this Monday. I'm going to go ahead and shut those down. I think SoftDev had theirs tonight for next Monday. And, you know, it's totally up to your leads if they want to reschedule one for another day for next week. And I'm sure they'll get back to you if they feel that way, but there is no meetings on Monday.
Thank you.
Quick question. kind of to add on what Carrie said, is it acceptable for like the students to kind of get together, just have our own little meeting and kind of talk about a few things and maybe strategize amongst ourselves. Is that acceptable?
Absolutely. Anytime. As long as it's not something that is set to continue on like week after week, because at that point, if you set it up and then you leave, I have to become you to get rid of it out of the calendar.
No, so, I wouldn't do that to you.
But what you can do is you can call each other and, you know, have a meeting. You're welcome to do that. And I would even say go ahead and record it, too. Okay. If you can, if you have a lead with you, go ahead and record it. And that way, you know, others can look at it and then you can put it into your department's stream and they can look at it later.
Awesome. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks. You're welcome. And if that's it, I welcome everybody. You know, thank you so much. Can't wait for the next master classes to see what everybody comes with. Bree is next week. Waiting for her masterness. But you guys have a great, safe weekend, Labor Day weekend, and have fun. Thanks, everybody.
You too. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
Great presentations.
Yep.
Thank you. I have to say, steganography is a difficult word to pronounce.
It's a very cool thing.
I get you, yeah. Mine is instances. That one's a big, that's a hard one. Instances. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, bye.